Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rabidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me, and why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirst there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, and our children, and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin, the third article of the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ or believe in him and receive him as Lord unless these were offered to us and bestowed on our hearts through the preaching of the gospel by the Holy Spirit. The work is finished and completed. Christ has acquired and won the treasure for us by his sufferings, death, and resurrection. Our epistle reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through chapter 10, verse 5. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20. Praise
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess together our Christian faith found in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Be seated. I would ask the children to come and join me down front this morning. Come on down. How are you this morning? I know. Don't worry. I'm not going to throw the rock at anybody or anything. So, all right. You guys see that rock I got there sitting in front of you? Yeah. So in the Old Testament reading this morning, we heard this story, and they come to this place, and it's called Rephidim, and the Israelites are camping there. And they begin to grumble and they cry out and they say, "Moses, why did you bring us out in here to the wilderness to die? Can't you see that we're going to die of thirst?" And so God tells Moses to go with the elders before the people of Israel and to strike this rock with his staff. This might be the shape of what most, like a shepherd's crook, like what Moses... Something like, yeah, they could wrap it around a sheep's neck and, yep, exactly, pull them back in. That's right. So he told him to strike the rock. And you know what happened when he struck the rock? Water came out. He struck the rock and water came out. Wow, think about that. Water coming out from a rock. Can you imagine that? God did that. Okay, God said that. And he never let his people in the wilderness, they never starved. He fed them with the manna that came down from heaven, and he gave them water from the rock. He provided for them, just like he provides for us today. Do they carry around rocks now? Do I carry around rocks now? Oh, they're thinking, well, see, here's the thing about that. God can, he can bring water from any rock if he wants to, right? Because he's God. It's a big God, and he can do that, right? Yeah. So, today, we have water too, and the waters of your baptism, right? And this is how God provides for us life-giving water, just like he gave to the Israelites there in the wilderness with this rock when he struck it. Right? And water gushed forth from the rock, it says. Well, we have that water here today in the waters of our baptism. And when you were sealed with the cross of Christ on your forehead and on your hearts, okay, and there in the waters, that water in the Word, you, because of that, you belong to Christ. That water, that living water that we have today that still keeps us alive and sustains us. Be careful with that. Well, shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you provide for us the living water from your Son, Jesus Christ, the rock, in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Mercy and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not fair. It's not fair. He always gets whatever he wants. You love him more than me. You never give me anything. Have you heard this kind of stuff before? Yeah, many of you have probably heard this, parents out there, from your kids. When you, as a parent, you've been accused of playing favorites. You love one more than the other. You don't care about that one child more than the other ones. You always give the other ones whatever they want while ignoring the child who's complaining of just how unjust you are. In the adult world, this is similar. We can also be demanding and cry out, "Give me what I deserve." For when we look at the long hours, the days, the months, the years that we put into a career, we expect to be appropriately compensated for it. Speaking from my own experience, in the military, you worked hard, you got promotions, and you earned more rank and more pay. But it wasn't just handed out to you. You had to work hard for it and earn it, and in many career specialties, that rank and promotion was highly competitive. Can you imagine then in a workforce where everyone gets the same reward, the same pay, no matter what they do? No matter how much work they do and the hours they put in. I can't imagine being in the Army for 20 years and a private that just completes basic training ends up coming in and getting the same pay as me. That's outrageous. That's ludicrous. It would never happen. Parables teach about the kingdom of God. Jesus used earthly stories to make his points. It's brilliant when you think about it, because he could get people to listen to him, get his hook in them by telling them this story, and it was something they could certainly relate to. The mistake that we can often make, though, is to look at these parables without eyes of faith. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus tells this parable that we just read. Now we know what happened. All the workers received the same wages no matter how many hours they put in for the workday. When we look at this story, we may say, "This is ridiculous. What kind of business owner would do this? This business model would never work. This guy doesn't have any idea what he's doing." On the other hand, can you imagine how indignant the day laborers were? The ones who had been there all day, working, laboring in the heat of the day, and when they saw the ones who had been hired at the last and they received their wages, they probably thought, "Oh man, what a payday this is going to be. Since we worked harder and longer, we're certain to make some serious bank." But no, that's not how it worked out. The landowner paid them all the wages, no matter how long or how little they had labored. "It's not fair. That's not right. You can't do that." And yet, here the landowner, he says, "I can do whatever I want with what belongs to me." A generous owner that gives the same to all, no matter how long they've labored. And here's the point. The kingdom of God does not operate on convention. When we say things like, "I want what's coming to me," what we're really saying is that we should be condemned and sent to hell and to be separated from God. Dear saints, our sins are what damns us to hell. And without the mercy and grace of God, this is certainly what we deserve. This is what we have coming to us, if you will. But God, like this generous landowner, gives freely of what he has. And he bestows the same gift on everyone. The free gift of salvation unto eternal life. The gift that your sins are forgiven, that they are no longer counted against you. The gift of grace upon grace in his kingdom. He never stops loving you. He never stops forgiving you. There's no strings attached. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the kingdom or not. Look at this another way. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're not somewhat saved. You're not partially saved. You are in the kingdom or you're not in the kingdom. God called you to faith through his word. He imparted his Spirit upon you in the waters of your baptism and continues to give you this grace upon grace. The great Martin Luther was not saved any more than I am. Pastor is not saved any more than me. I'm not saved any more than you. We've all received the same grace, and we are saved by grace through the faith that God has given us. The thief on the cross, he was saved just as much as you and I. He's in God's kingdom. Now, to be sure, we know that from time to time our faith goes through highs and lows. We have days where our faith is strong, other days where we struggle with keeping our focus on the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. We pray and ask that God would continue to increase our faith and trust in him. But we are still saved by grace. We are in the kingdom. How often do we grumble and give God the stink eye like these workers did here, that we are not getting what we deserve, that things seem to be unfair? Maybe in our time in the church, do we find ourselves begrudging the generosity of a good and gracious God who gives us all things? In our stinginess and jealousy, we think that we deserve more. Examples of this for today might be, I should be recognized more for the work that I do here in the church. Or, I've been involved here for many years, I'm a faithful servant. And then someone else with lesser time invested seems to get attention and credit. And just like the children that we mentioned at the beginning here, here we are. Ungrateful, not looking with eyes of faith. So then when you and I see the sinners that we are, we repent and we live in his grace, knowing that we are forgiven. We are then, with grateful hearts, able to give thanks to a merciful Father who didn't give us what we deserve. In fact, he gave us what we don't deserve. This lavish grace that he pours out on us every day. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian all your life or if you have recently come into the kingdom. Here we are all the same. We are all equal. Because we all equally participate in this wonderful gift of salvation unto eternal life from a loving God who continues to pour out his blessings upon us. These blessings are the same for all. And so as these laborers all receive the same wages at the end of the workday because of grace, there is no distinction for us on the last day, dear friends. God makes no distinction between his workers. We are all the same. That is, we are broken sinners who are forgiven, strengthened, and given eternal peace through the precious outpouring of his blood. Jesus rose again for you, and he rose again for me, ever victorious, having conquered sin and death. The wages that we really deserved were paid by this same Jesus for you and me on the cross. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.